All right, now we're starting today about healing, talking about healing. Now, that's a much disputed area. There have been, until the last few decades, most of Christendom felt that healing was not for today. And even to this day, most feel that it's not for all, just for a few selected ones. You know, God kind of, by His sovereign will, picks out a certain few. There are many feel that, and are coming to the revelation that healing is for all. It's for all of God's children. And that's what we're coming to. There are some that feel that any healing is only of the devil. If anybody gets healed, it's the devil that did it. And then, of course, there are those that feel that if there is any healing done, it's in the mind. Any healing, whatever, is in the mind. But thank God we don't have to mess around with all of everybody's philosophies. We can go to the Word of God. And even if you've never seen a healing in all your life, and you never even heard about it, if you cracked open the Bible and searched it through, what would you find? You would find that God loves His people. And He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He calls Himself Yahweh Rapha in the Old Testament. We'll soon be looking at that scripture. And He's never changed. Yahweh Rapha in the Hebrew is Yahweh the Healer. Yahweh the Healer. The Lord our Healer. He who is touched with our infirmities is still touched with our infirmities. He who meets the needs of His people still meets the needs of His people. The reason why there's a lack of healing in the Church of Jesus Christ is because either there's a lack of truth, that is, they don't know. And you know, if you don't know, you don't receive. If there are people that do not know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they don't receive, generally. There are some exceptions. People don't know about salvation, they don't receive it, generally. If people don't know about healing, they don't receive it. And that's just about where we stand. Or on the other hand, it's because of lack of faith. They know about it, but they just don't believe. Just don't have the faith to receive. Now, everything we have is based on the Word of God. I mean, really, it is. Everything we've got that is ours in Christ is based on the Word of God. And if you can find it in the Bible, brother, it's yours. I don't care if you've never seen it before. I don't care. I don't care if you yourself cannot receive. If it's there in the Word of God, if it's promised by God, then it's there for you. Because God does not lie, and He does not change. So let's look at the promises and find out the basis of this relationship to the Lord in healing. First of all, Exodus chapter 15, verses 15 and 16. Exodus 15, verses, did I say 15 and 16? I meant 25 and 26. Exodus 15, verses 25 and 26. Now this is soon after the Israelites had come into the wilderness. And we know that when they entered into the wilderness, God began to miraculously meet their needs, right? He gave them manna, and He gave them water out of the rock. He protected them from their enemies, the Amalekites. And look what He did here when they came to water that was bitter and unable to be drunk. And the people had begun to murmur against Moses, asking, "What shall we drink?" Verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. He tested them. What did he test them about? He tested them to see if they'd accept that he's really as good as he says he is. He tested them to see if he really would meet their needs, or if he'd pull them out there in the middle of the wilderness and then let them die. Is God going to call you out in the middle of the wilderness and then let you die there? Is He going to call you out of the world into a land where it doesn't seem there's any natural comforts and then just let you die there? Well, that's the way it appeared many times. Right at the first there when they ended up against the Red Sea. Now when they're entering up without water, and here they are at the waters of Marah. Marah meaning bitter. Yes, meaning bitter. And then He made this statute and this ordinance. And that is a decree that will never change. That's what a statute is. It's a decree that will never change. It's a statute. It's similar to a law. You've heard of the laws of science, the laws of physics. And what did He say? And He said, verse 26, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now he turned this healing of the waters into a healing for them. He showed Moses how to sweeten the waters. There was a tree that was cast into the waters. And that produced a sweet fountain, whereas it was bitter before. That tree, of course, is a type of Jesus Christ. And Christ died on the cross. It's through the blood of the cross. It's through the tree, see, that we are given life. And as Christ is thrown into those waters that are bitter because of the law, because the law has judged us and made us, as it were, offenders, because the law brings death. Because Christ is thrown into that waters, the waters are made sweet unto us so that we can be healed. And that if we with our heart and our mind and with the inner man will delight in the law of God, and if we will seek after Him to do His will and do His bidding, then none of these diseases will come upon us. And the Lord will protect us from sickness. Now I want you to know that there are conditions to your healing. But also let it be known that there are conditions to forgiveness of sins, right? There are conditions to everything you receive in God. Notice the heathen man out there that hates God or doesn't know God, he doesn't receive. Now there are some blessings, of course, that God gives to all mankind because they're His creation. Regardless of whether they know Him or not. He sends His rain on the just and on the unjust. He sends the sunshine on the just and on the unjust. But there are promises in the covenant, then they're all based on certain prerequisites, certain conditions. So we see that God wants to bless, and healing is a blessing. But there are certain conditions. Now let's look at some other scriptures concerning this. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 6. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now after we've read Exodus 15, 25 and 26, it would appear that, wow, you mean I can't fudge an inch, I can't make a mistake, I can't do one thing wrong, or wham, all these diseases are going to come upon me. My, what a rotten deal. You know, because I'm doomed, I'm a sinner, I'm hopeless. Well, add into this Exodus chapter 20 and verse 6, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. That love me. If you will love the Lord your God, if you'll seek to fulfill that first commandment, though you are a sinner man, and I am, and have failed God and have made many mistakes, yet God in His mercy will heal you because Jesus was cast into the waters and they were made sweet. Because of Jesus Christ and what He has done. Let's look further. Psalm 91, verses 9 and 10. Now, I'm glad that I don't have to, every time before I pray, I don't have to say, now, let's see, how have I lived the last 5 minutes? You know, how have I lived? Well, what's my track record like the last day? I can stand in the blood of Jesus Christ by faith, understanding the grace of God. Now, I'll tell you, we've already learned that if you've been living sloppy and you don't care about the commandments of God, you don't automatically just jump into faith. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. That's unbelief. That's unfaithfulness. But I mean, if your heart is after God, you'll make mistakes. Of course you will. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins. And so if you're walking in that place, you can walk up and you can say, because of the blood of Jesus who has washed away all my sins, I am clean right now. I am righteous, and therefore I'm standing in good stead concerning all the commandments of God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, sickness, get out of here in Jesus' name. Because God is glorified in the healing of His people. That's what glorifies God. Psalm 91, 9 and 10. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Because you have made the Lord your habitation. When trouble comes, you run into Him and are safe. When a hailstorm's outside, you enter in under Him, under His roof of protection and safety. See, you're looking to Him. Also in Psalms 91, verses 14 through 16. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise God. Started by setting our love on Him. Do you love the Lord? Set your love upon God. His promises are for you. Now Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. That which a man sows, he shall also reap. And you can't live sloppy, care not about God's commandments, and then expect to get all the blessings. But if you care about God in His heart, in His will, in His Word, even though you fail, because you care and because you delight in the law of God, you have mercy. And therefore you have healing. You have mercy. And therefore you have healing. So understand that those commandments by God, is viewing it according as Paul viewed it. He said, in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. For with my flesh I serve the law of sin. But with my mind I serve the law of God. Therefore there's no condemnation to me. Because I really do want to walk with God. So even though I fail, I'll not be condemned. Because the blood of Jesus Christ is continually cleansing me, and therefore I am full heir to all the promises of God. If that were not the case, brethren, and we were able to perfectly fulfill the law of God ourselves, who needs Jesus Christ? Who needs Jesus? If you're able to perfectly fulfill all the law of God, who needs the tree thrown into the water? But we need Him. We need mercy. Now in the Old Testament, the Lord revealed Himself through many compound names. That is, by connecting titles with the name Yahweh. And through those compound names, He would show what He eternally is. He would show His eternal character. We see Yahweh revealed as Yahweh Elohim, the Lord our God. Or as Yahweh our Sovereign. Or as Yahweh our Savior. Or as Yahweh our Provider. Yahweh our banner. And see, He's all of these things today. And you ask anybody who's a Christian, a believer, and he'll say, yes, the Lord is all these things today. Yahweh our peace. Yahweh our righteousness. Yahweh our sanctifier. Yahweh of hosts. Yahweh who is present. Yahweh who is shepherd. Yahweh our maker. Yahweh most high. And He's also Yahweh Rapha. If He is all of these other things, then He is still also Yahweh Rapha, Yahweh our healer. Now, why do we know that healing is for today? I'd like to give you 8 reasons. Number one, we know healing is for today because history since Christ has proven it. You've listened to a tape in the library, that ought to be enough. We've seen it, we read it, you can read it in the early church fathers. Even St. Augustine, that's about 600 A.D. Later he talked about how among the believers there were those speaking in tongues, there were those prophesying, and there were those seeing healings and miracles. And so they continued. And we know that there are snatches even during the Dark Ages. There were groups of Christians believing in God. We're seeing the power of God. And of course, in our day, we have seen the Lord pour out His healing power in a mighty way. Secondly, personal experience has proven it. Probably every one of us here have felt the touch of God and have had the touch of God in our life in healing one way or another. Doesn't mean you had to have had some fantastic out-of-this-world thing in order to know that God has healed you. Thirdly, we know that the New Testament is greater glory. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 3. It has greater glory. A glory that outshines the... Excuse me, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And the New Covenant has greater glory. Now, if the Old Testament had healing, and it did, then the New Testament, which has greater glory, ought to have more than that. And it does. It has healing and more. The gifts of healings for available for the saints, and healing to all those that believe. Fourthly, Jesus promised, John 14:12, that when He goes to the Father, greater works than these shall ye do. And then later in John 20 and verse 21, He said, as your Father has sent Me, even so send I you. And the Father sent Him doing healing. And so He sent us to do healing. Fifthly, God has not changed. He always has wanted to do good, and He still wants to do good, and therefore He does good for His people. Sixthly, man has not changed. Man has the same needs. We still get just as sick. In fact, I was shocked to hear the other day the percentage of people in America that are in the hospitals. I can't remember the percentage now, but it absolutely shocked me. How many people in America go into hospitals regularly? Because that has not been the case in my family. And I know that in the chapel, I think I would imagine overall that there's less problems. I don't know. But I know the Lord is sure good when you walk with Him and serve Him and put Him first. God will watch over your life. We'll see how it's not just healing you after you get into trouble. It's keeping you out of trouble. That God will also do. Seventhly, Jesus promised that we would. And then He commanded that we should. And that's good enough, huh? Jesus promised that we would. That we would have healing. And then He commanded that we should go out and heal the sick. And I guess that's good enough. And so, verse number 8, we know healing is for today is because if we are still commanded to preach, then we are still commanded to heal. Because Jesus said, go out, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry? What verse is that? Matthew 10, verse 8. Freely you have received, freely give. And to go preach the gospel, that's Matthew 10, 1 through 8. And He sent them forth to preach and to heal the sick, to cast out the devils, to raise the dead. Now, let's look and continue to look at more promises. The basis of the covenant is the promises. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 25. Now, you've already gone through some of these in your paper. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. So I guess when God blesses, that if He's going to bless your bread and bless your water, which is the foundation of our life, then He's, and that's a blessing. Is He going to do that and then leave you sick and full of cancer and all messed up all your days? Of course not. That's no blessing. That's no blessing. If He's going to bless you in what you take into your body, then obviously the blessing is for your body. He's going to bless you by healing you also. And that's exactly what He says, and He hasn't changed a bit. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Now, notice here the difference between this and Exodus 15. Exodus 15 said, I'll not put it upon thee. Exodus 23 says, I'll take it away from thee. So, the devil does get through. Sickness does come upon the children of God. And, you know, God knows that. He knows that it will. But He says He'll take it from us. Many have said, and I'll have to admit, I agree with them, it's much greater to never get sick as to get sick and get healed. I think that's a greater promise. I am sure, there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever that Jesus Christ was never sick. Because He kept all the laws of God. And God promised that He would not put any of these things upon us if we kept His commandments. Exodus 15. Now, I'm sure Jesus never got sick. The devil didn't lay a hold of His body. He found nothing in Him. I believe He never got sick. That's the way I understand it at this point. One might argue, well, He was in a cursed world. Well, I'll tell you, brother, it's cursed physically, spiritually, and every other way. But if we walk in the Spirit, we get released from the curse of the sin. So why not get released from the curse of the sickness too? Which you'll see is exactly what God has ordained. Sickness is against God's nature. That's why His blessing also includes healing. Does anybody feel, you know, when you get sick, do you feel, oh, glory to God, I got sick? Anybody feel, oh, the blessing of the Lord is upon me, I got pneumonia, glory to God. Praise the Lord, I've been praying for this. You know, is that the way we relate to sickness? We do everything in our power to get rid of it. Everything. We don't like it. Our body doesn't like it. Our body repels and says, "Lah." We feel awful. We don't operate right. Let's look at another promise. Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 16. Which is another one you also went through in your paper. Wonderful portion of Scripture, wasn't it? For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy. Aren't you glad it's covenant and mercy? When we fail in our part of the covenant, then He keeps His mercy. See, sometimes God heals because of the covenant. Most of the time He heals because of mercy. You know? Because He's merciful to us. All right. And repays them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. God's a just God. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep them, and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, corn, thy wine, and etc. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male nor female barren among you or among your cattle. The Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee, but I shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. What a marvelous promise. I mean, sickness, getting rid of it, is just right along then with them. Blessing the fruit of your womb, blessing the fruit of your land, blessing the fruit of your labors, blessing your body, and healing your body. It's all part of it. It's just one breath. It's not a different class. It's not a different class. It's all part of blessing. You see, we have to view God for who he is. God, he knows what we're like. He knows our frame. He doesn't think that, oh, you know, they're in trouble because they don't have enough food to eat. But, you know, they can be sick. Doesn't bother them at all. Hey, he knows that bothers us too. If we go hungry, we're in trouble. If we're sick, we're in trouble. He knows that. If there's an enemy on our back, we're in trouble. He knows all of that. And so it's all in the same breath. If God will deliver you from one, he'll deliver you from the other. Now, let's look at the very first prophecy of deliverance. And I want to show you that this prophecy included your healing. The first prophecy that we see of as being our redemption is found, in my opinion, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee, that is the devil, and the woman, and between thy seed, that is those children of the devil, and her seed, and that is Christ especially, also the saints. It, that is Christ, shall bruise thy head, and thou, the devil, and it shall bruise his heel. That is the heel of Christ. That is the very least member. He shall put him to death for a short time, but he never saw corruption, and he was raised again. Now, how did Jesus crush the head of the serpent? What did he do when he stomped on the head of that snake? Which, by the way, he's done it. I'd like to read some scriptures here. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Many of these are repeat right now, but that's all right. Get blessed again. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. That is Jesus Christ coming in the flesh, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So he came to destroy him, or the Greek is literally to paralyze him. To paralyze him. You see, he didn't annihilate him, did he? But he paralyzed him. He brought him so that he was unable to function in the same way he'd functioned before. A parallel with that is Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Now the handwriting of ordinances, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Do you know that the Bible is loaded in the Old Testament with certain promises of what will happen if we keep his law, and what will happen if we break his law? And if we break his law, there's a whole list of curses. And guess what one of them was? In fact, several of them. It dealt with sickness and disease. Those things that come upon the human body. And Jesus took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, that is, he crushed the head of the serpent. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Through the blood of his cross, he triumphed over them in it. And so we see that Jesus spoiled the power. He crushed his head. Now, Galatians 3 and verse 13, getting even clearer. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Now, if you want to find out the curse of the law, you turn to the Old Testament, and you'll find listed curses from the law. In Deuteronomy 28, the curses from the law. List them. If you keep my word, I'll bless you this way and that way. And then the last half of the chapter is, if you don't keep my word, then I will curse you this way and that way. And many of the curses deal with physical infirmity and sickness. That's part of the curse of the law. Because we don't keep the law, and therefore the law judges us and condemns us, and therefore we come under its curse. But Jesus became a curse for us. By crushing the head of the serpent, he became a curse for us. And he actually became a curse for us through his death and being nailed on the cross. And then he destroyed the works of the devil, and so that he bore the curse so that we can be free. Now let's look at the results of all of this. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. The results of all of it. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now notice now it says the works of the devil, and not just the devil. Before it said he destroys the devil, he crushes his head, he spoils principalities and powers. Now it says he destroys the works of the devil. Now what does the devil do? What did Jesus destroy? What types of things did Jesus undo? You all know. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Jesus Christ went about all Galilee, healing all the world oppressed of the devil. Healing. And the Greek word there, you can't make any issue of, well, that's spiritual healing or whatever. It's the Greek for remedying or healing. Aomai. It's a term that speaks of healing. There's a couple of terms we'll look at a little bit later that uses a term for salvation, also for healing. But here it talks about he went about healing them. That is, he was actually working cures for those that were oppressed of the devil. Now, therefore we see the sickness is an oppression of the devil. It's one of the devil's works. And Jesus went about healing those that were oppressed of the devil. Let's look at Mark chapter 1. We see the example. Mark chapter 1, verse 23 and 24. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What are we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." What did Jesus do? Kicked him out. That was one of the works of the devil. Look a little bit later, though. Look at verse 34. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devil to speak, because they knew him. There he undid the works of the devil there. Now, if sickness was the work of God, then Jesus was working against the kingdom of God. If he healed those that were sick because God wanted them sick, then he was working against the kingdom of God. But I tell you that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Jesus was not destroying the works of God. He was destroying the works of the devil. That's what he was doing. Sickness is a work of the devil. Everybody knows that. I mean, we all know that. It's not God that makes you, kills you when you're 10 years old and eats your body up with cancer and messes you all up. That's not God's works. That's the devil's work. Anybody knows that. I mean, if we'll really be honest, is a person just feeling glorious? What happens when the Spirit of God comes on you? Yuck. No, it's wonderful. Always. What happens when the spirit of the devil comes on you? Yuck. What happens when sickness comes upon you? Oh, praise the Lord. It feels so good to be sick this morning. Oh, it's just so wonderful. My head is pounding. My body is feverish. I can't hardly walk. I feel awful. I feel horrible. But oh, it's so wonderful to be sick. Nobody on the face of this earth feels that way. Infants, when they get sick, they cry. They don't start giggling and laughing. Sickness is a work of the devil. And then verse 39 in Mark chapter 1. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Then a leper came unto him and he healed him. So that's what he did. Jesus went about healing. Now, let's look at the work of Jesus Christ and see how when he died for your sins, he died for your sicknesses. All in the same work. And the basic promise we want to look at here is in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. Now, Isaiah chapter 53 is probably one of the greatest, it is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, prophecy in the Old Testament concerning the mediation of Jesus Christ for you and I. Well, it's all the way through the Bible. It's everywhere. But here we've got very clear, it's almost as if it was written by somebody after the fact. Clear description of the work of Jesus Christ in atoning for our sin. And how does it start out? First of all, in the first three verses, it just describes him and how he was rejected and we esteemed him not. We hid our faces from him. But then it starts giving you promise of what he did. Verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And, you know, with griefs and sorrows and transgressions, it sounds like it's all spiritual type healing. So when it says it was healed, it sounds like spiritual healing only. But I want you to know that in the Hebrew, the word griefs is literally pains. He has borne our pains. That's what the word means. And carried our sorrows, that word sorrows is literally sicknesses. Sicknesses. And it's the same Greek, it's the same Hebrew word in verse 3 where he was a man of sorrows. It says a man of sickness. And it doesn't mean that he was sick, but it means that he grieved for people that were sick. And he accompanied with sick folk. Everywhere he went, there were sick people coming to him to get healed. He was around a lot of sick people. Seemed like it just took him that way. You know? You ask anybody that's an evangelist and you'll find them around a lot of sick folk. I mean, one that's really used of God in healing. They're around a lot of sick people. Because they're undoing the works of the devil. Jesus bore our pains and carried our sicknesses. Now, to prove that this is talking about a physical healing, let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 15. When the even was... Let's see, starting at verse 16, excuse me. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now notice how the Matthew here interpreted Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4. He did not interpret it griefs and sorrows. He interpreted it infirmities and sicknesses. Now infirmities means weaknesses. And it's a good translation for the word pains. It's all right. It's weaknesses and includes pains. And then the second one is sicknesses, just like it is in the Old Testament. That's what the Greek word means. Weaknesses and sicknesses. Those are good translations. And he healed those that were sick. Healed all that were sick that it might be fulfilled. He himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now I want you to also notice that he also cast out demons. And that was part of it. Because they bring you pain and sickness too. They bring you pain and sickness too. Very definitely. And so we see that this spiritual deliverance here, when Jesus bore our iniquities, when he bore our transgressions, when the chastisement of our peace was upon him, he also bore away our pains and carried away our sicknesses. That's what Jesus did. That's what it says. If he carried your sins, therefore, the scripture says he carried your sicknesses. Can't change the Bible. Can't change it. If he bore the one by his death on the cross, he bore the other because they're all in the same breath. In the same breath. And then the concluding statement to that section, as we read in the last part of verse 5, and with his stripes we are healed. That word stripes is in the singular. Some translate it bruise. With his bruise or with his welt, we are healed. And it could be referring to the stripes on his back as he was scourged. It could also be referring to the stroke of death that was upon Christ. He was killed. By his death, we are healed. And that healing includes both your physical and your spiritual. When by his stripes you were healed, brother, you were delivered from it all. Now, I can't see any other way to interpret it. Can you? How else can you interpret that? I don't care if you're never forgiven of your sins. I think it says that he took your sin. Right? And I don't care whether you never get healed. He took our pains and our sicknesses. Right? So it doesn't matter what you feel or what you think or what you believe. Jesus did it. He bore it. It was all laid upon him by God. They say, well, that's the only Old Testament promise. Oh, no, it isn't. There's all kinds of them, besides the ones I've already given you. But look in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. God doesn't seem to feel that healing is in a different compartment. All the Christians that believe that, well, praise the Lord, Jesus forgives you as soon as you pray. But as far as sicknesses, well, glory to God, Paul's thorn. They got it all confused. Bible doesn't make that distinction. It puts it right in the same breath. And I already showed you that when the head of Satan was bruised, that included physical healing. When he spoiled those principalities and he spoiled the works of the devil, which is, of course, sin, he also spoiled the work of the devil, which is sickness. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Why? Because he's so good to us. Yeah. Bless the Lord, bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, this word benefits in the Hebrew means dealings. Forget not all his dealings. You say, well, it's translated benefits. How come? I'll tell you why. Because everything he does is good. Everything God does is a benefit to you. So forget not all his benefits. Don't forget all his dealings. Who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. There's not anything he can't heal. He did just one breath. Who forgives all thy iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. I mean, it's the same breath. Now, can you bless the Lord when you're healed? Is it a good dealing? Is it a benefit? Absolutely. Getting forgiven, is that a benefit? Absolutely. It's all part of the same. Can't separate them out. Who redeems thy life from destruction? Is it destruction when you get sick and waste away by cancer and die? Yes, it is. Who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. Is sickness a good thing? No. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Is getting healed, renewing you? Absolutely. I'll tell you, brethren, healing is all part of it. Healing is all part of it. And you'll find that if you live in the joy and the promise of God, you'll just be a better, healthier individual all around anyway. I feel really strongly on this point, and that is, we have yet to find out how many sicknesses and weaknesses come upon us simply because of our attitude of mind. Negative, complaining, unbelieving, doubting, sinning attitudes of mind bring so much sorrow, trouble, and sickness upon our bodies. I feel like we have yet to find out how much. I think it is very closely tied. I think we see that all throughout Scripture. It's very closely tied. So, God, he'll heal all your sicknesses and he'll forgive all your sins. It's the same breath. Now, if you can believe God to forgive your sins, can you? Yeah. You can believe God to heal your diseases. He did it all. And it's all part of his benefits. It's all part of it. If you have a benefit on a certain job of getting, you know, overtime, and they also give you the benefit of free health care, you'll take the one as good as the other, won't you? Sure. Well, that's what God does. He gives you overtime pay. He compensates. He really does. The more you work for him and the greater pressure you're under, God compensates. And he also gives you free health care. Takes care of your body. Even though nobody around here, if nobody got healed, I'd still believe it because it's the Bible. I can't change the book. You can't just take your penknife in there and cut out that part of it. Got to leave it in there. Malachi chapter Psalm 107. Excuse me. Psalm 107. And I want to zero in on verse 20. Let's start at verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhors all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Their afflictions, they abhor all manner of meat, they draw near unto the gates of death. When do you abhor all manner of food? It's when you're sick. It's when you're sick. I'm not standing here abhorring all manner of meat. I had a great breakfast this morning. And drawing near unto the gates of death. What brings you to the gates of death? Sickness. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. That's all part of it. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. You know, we think that every little time we just say a little teeny tiny prayer without faith or anything that we get healed. I mean, that we get forgiven. But we come to find out that healing, you know, it kind of shows you that it takes more than just a little tiny prayer. Just, you know, you got to really believe. Well, you know, you have to really believe you're forgiven. There are people all over the Christian world that are walking in condemnation. They don't believe they're forgiven. People get the idea that everybody believes for forgiveness, nobody believes for healing. It's not that way. True that in the area of healing, it seems to be a little more down home and a little more difficult. And there are some things that are easier to believe for than others. But I'm telling you, there are a lot of people that do not believe for the forgiveness of sins. And they walk in condemnation. They're not forgiven. They're not glorifying God, walking in the blessing of Jesus Christ. They're walking around sour, down, despondent, depressed. That's not glorifying God. That's not all praise the Lord for all his good benefits unto me. It's always me. That's what it is. It's unbelief. They're not believing God for his forgiveness either. Hear me. This is the truth. I know this is. We get the kind of feeling that everybody's got all the forgiveness of sins. Well, you know what? Just like it's easier to believe, you know, when you first get saved, you know you can't look at your past record. You know you have no hope looking back. You can't say, well, Lord, I've been living right lately. You can't do that. You got to come to the Lord and you have to say that I'm a mess. Will you take me anyway? I hear that you love me. I hear that you care about me. And so I'm just willing to serve you the rest of my life, Lord. And I just believe that you're as good as you say you are. And boom, we get forgiven. Well, boom, we get healed too. There's a lot of miraculous healings to newborn Christians. They come to the Lord because their faith is simple. They're not looking at the past record. But now we're smarter than that. Lord, I've been living pretty good lately. Therefore, you have to forgive me. And God said, blah, you know. The angels, you know, they say, oh, no. We do the same thing for healing. The same thing. Well, Lord, I think I've been living lately, you know, pretty good. And so now you can heal me. We don't get healed. Lord, I said I've been living good lately. How come you haven't healed me yet? We don't get healed. You're not believing. You're not believing. You're looking at your righteousness, which is filthy rags. You just haven't smelled the stink yet. Or you come to the Lord and you say, oh, I've sinned so much lately, there's no way I can get healed. God does the same thing. He says, away with such garbage. Why was the tree cast into the waters? Showing what unto the thousands of those that love me? Mercy. My child, do you have... And if his heart is towards God, and he loves the Lord, and he wants to serve God, he can come into the presence of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He can say, and I'll forget not all your benefits unto me, who forgive all my sins, and who heals all my diseases. And the Lord says, now you're standing in the covenant. Be healed. And he'll send his word and he'll heal you. I'm telling you, people are walking around unforgiven. People are walking around sick. It's because we're not believing that God is really as good as he says he is. The truth. It's the absolute truth. I know it's the truth. Because you can't change the book. You can't change the book. You can't just alter this thing and make it say something else. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. Another one where healing is promised as part of the covenant. Last book of the Old Testament. One of the last verses in the Old Testament. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise, with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked. Healing in his wings. Healing. And that's exactly what it means. It's just exactly that healing. For your spiritual diseases, yes. and for your physical diseases also. Jesus was come with healing in his wings. Look at Isaiah 33 and verse 24. I mean, it's in the Old Covenant, brethren. It's promised in the Old Covenant. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Now that's when the Lord is dwelling over Zion and ruling in Zion. And it's definitely a prophecy of the millennium. But it's also a prophecy for the church age. And they will not say, I am sick. And the reason why is because of verse 22. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us. And therefore the inhabitant will not say, I am sick. Now this is not a positive confession doctrine that as long as you say you're not sick, then you aren't. It's not what this is teaching. They're not going to say I'm sick because he's not sick. That's why he's not going to say I'm sick. Because he's not. He's protected under God. I remember hearing the testimony of one brother who'd been an evangelist, an apostle. And he said, for 40 years I've never been sick. He said, that's a much greater blessing and a greater testimony than any other testimony I could give you. And he says, I have not been sick for 40 years. I've not had any diseases on my body. And he's seen hundreds and hundreds healed and delivered from all sorts of things in his own life. That's a testimony I remember him giving, and that's Lester Sumrall. So he's a brother that God has used and a precious brother. Now, Jesus declared it to us by his ministry. In Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, we see the story of Jesus in the house where the roof was broken up and the paralytic was let down through. And he said in verse 5, he saw their faith and he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, the man said, thy sins be forgiven thee. He didn't say sicknesses be healed. The man was sick. He wanted to be healed. He said, thy sins be forgiven. He didn't even address his sickness. He just said, thy sins. And it got the Pharisees on the gun here. And he said, why he speaks blasphemy? Only God can forgive sin. So that in verse 7. And immediately, verse 8, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. Now Jesus said, which is easier to say? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority, and that word power there is authority, exousia, on earth to forgive sins, that you might know that I have authority to forgive sins, I'm going to tell this man to get up and walk. Because in his healing was a proof that he had the power to forgive sins. It was a proof that he had power to forgive sins. Why? How come? How come that was a proof? Because the same grace and mercy of God that healed, that heals that one. And there's two reasons here. Number one is that the same grace and mercy that healed that one is the same grace and mercy that forgives his sin. And number two is that the same wickedness of our heart that brings on our sickness also brings on our sin. That's right. It's sin that brings sickness into the world. Adam and Eve were not sick. They had their sicknesses and their diseases later. Now, before you jump into anything, I'm not saying that every time you sin a little, then you're going to have a little sickness. I'm not saying that. In fact, you can live and pretty much not sin, and still some things can fall on you because of the world that we're living in. But let it be known that Jesus Christ considered them both the same. And he just as soon cast out a demon as to heal the sick as to forgive sins, because it was all the same, and it was all authority because of the position that he held as the Son of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. If you cannot believe for healing, then you can't believe for anything. Now, that is true and then it's not true. Well, how it's true is this. If you can't accept the promise of God for healing of your body, then you really have no right to claim forgiveness of sins, because they both come together. But it is true that for some and for many, it's easier to believe for forgiveness than it is to believe for healing. That is true. You know, it's easier to believe that a cold will be healed than it is to move a mountain, right? That's true. Some things you need greater faith. Some demons need greater faith to move them out than other demons. That's true. But nonetheless, they both come in the same covenant package from the Lord Jesus Christ to you and I. They both come. I want you to be convinced of that. I want you to believe that down to the roots of your toes. Right into the depths of your spirit, you need to know that, that God is good. And that if He will forgive your sin, He will forgive you. He'll heal your sicknesses with the same breath. And I wanted to give you James 5 there too, and I didn't get a chance, but we'll get that next week. God bless you. We'll move on to the next section.